Now, we're here tonight to sing carols, and we're going to sing a few of those. We're also here to think a little bit about the birth of Jesus, the story of Jesus, the baby who was born on the first Christmas, Jesus, the Son of God. So this evening, we're going to think a little bit about the first nativity and the importance of the birth of Jesus. But we're going to do it from a slightly different angle, and perhaps it will be an angle that you have never, ever contemplated Christmas from before. Because did you know that in the Christmas story, in the nativity, there are shepherds and angels and wise men, and we've put in animals and stuff into the, what we call a stable. But did you know that in the nativity story, there is a dragon? Did you know this? Some of you are going, what are you on that you would say such a thing? But there is a dragon. So we're going to look at the dragon that's in the nativity story. And our readings come from Revelation 12, which talk about the dragon and the woman. And all will become clear as we hear that. But all these things, all that we do tonight, the idea is that we're reminded that at the heart of the birth of Jesus, there is a battle. God took on human flesh in order to defeat the powers of sin and death. You know, there's never been a time in history when human beings did not need to hear the Christmas message, the message of good news. So we'll be listening to this true story as people look back to his first coming and look forward to a time when he'll return. Many people regard the Christmas story as just that, a fable, a story. But for Christians, followers of Jesus, it is the basis on which our faith is founded, because this is Jesus coming as one of us. So let's begin with a very short prayer, and it is a very short prayer. Let us pray. Thank you, Father God, for bringing us together this evening. Amen. Let's listen to our first reading, which comes from Revelation chapter 12.
A woman clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that it might devour the child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness, to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days.
Let's sit down, and we're going to listen, continuing the story of the red dragon and the woman.
Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation, and the power, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short."
When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time. Times and a half time, out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus.
Let's listen to another reading, a slightly different reading this time.
This reading is from Dirty Glory, Go Where Your Best Prayers Take You by Pete Gregg. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory. One scholar says that this is possibly the greatest single verse in the New Testament, and certainly the sentence for which John wrote his gospel. God's infinite glory has moved into the neighborhood. He has affirmed our humanity fully. He has identified with us completely in our joy, but also in our pain. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. The Word didn't just pretend to become flesh. He wasn't fraternizing with humanity from a morally superior plane. Jesus became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. This is the staggering message of Christ's incarnation. God's glory became dirt so that we, the scum of the earth, might become the very glory of God. This then is our creed. We believe in the blasphemous glory of Emmanuel, infinity dwindled to infancy, as the poet once said. We believe in omnipotence surrendering to incontinence, the name above every other name rumored to be illegitimate. We believe that God's eternal word once squealed like a baby, and when eventually he learned to speak, it was with a regional accent. The creator of the cosmos made tables, and presumably he made them badly at first. The Holy One of Israel got dirt in the creases of his hands. Here is our God, the sovereign who emptied himself out into the nature of a man, as one popular first century hymn put it. See Philippians chapter 2. The omniscience who learned obedience, as the book of Hebrews says. The king born in a barn. The Christ whose first official miracle took place at a party involving the conversion of more than 100 gallons of water into really decent wine. 2,000 years on, and some religious people are still trying to turn it back again. And of course, it was these same people who accused him at the time of partying too hard. Rumors followed him all the days of his life, and he did little enough to make them go away.
I'm going to speak for a few minutes. I hope it's not too, won't be too long before we get to refreshments. But I wonder if we could think a little bit more about this business of the red dragon. Dragons have been featuring a little bit in the news as well. But nativity is a kind of interesting thing, because we want the nativity to be quiet and safe. You know, we've got a little crib scene over there. You can go and look at it with all the knitted figures. And we kind of want it to be nice and lovely and make us feel a little bit cozy and comfortable. And people are producing their own kind of versions of the nativity. So we've got an example of this. which is going to come up on the screen. Here we go. This is a kind of modern day nativity. I don't know if you can identify yourself in it. It is a hipster nativity scene. Are you familiar with the concept of hipsters? I've got a little hipster. I'm kidding myself on. I've got a hipster beard. That's about the only attribute. But here we have a modern day nativity scene for hipsters. So we've got the stable with the solar panels on the roof. And on the left-hand side, we've got 100% organic cow feeding from a gluten-free feeding trough, manger. There's the shepherd with his sheep. Now, sheep has got to keep warm, so it's got a little coat on because you don't want the sheep getting cold in the middle of the winter. And the shepherd's keeping track with his earphones on, and he's got a little iPad in front of him as well. And then we have the wise men. And the wise men apparently work for a big company which have a big swoosh on the side of their boxes, which some of us will have been experiencing. Again, we've already advertised too much tonight in the service, so I'm not going to advertise for them. But they are riding on Segways. I once got to have a shot of a Segway. Some friends in America had two of these in their garage, and it made me, I want one, really. Every church I've been in, I've been saying, can we get a Segway? And we'll have a procession in, and the minister and the choir, choir could have a Segway as well. You could all come in Segways, and you parade in. It would be great. It would work really beautifully. And then there's Mary and Joseph and the baby, and what are they doing? They're taking a selfie. Of course they are. So they're smiling, and Mary's got her fingers up there saying. So, you know, people are trying to make the nativity a little bit more comfortable for themselves, you know, and a bit identify themselves a little bit with the nativity. But then people are doing nativity scenes and actually are putting the red dragon into the nativity scene. So this is a picture from Mississippi. And it's of a nativity. Now, not only does she have a red dragon, the lady that did this, she's got a green dragon, and I think it's a blue or a purple dragon as well. Well, the neighbors were up in arms about this. It was terrible. Well, look at this. Dragon, it's nativity, it's Christmas time, and you're putting dragons out on the street for everybody to see. You know, everybody now in Edinburgh, it seems to me, puts lights out on the street, and we've got lots of houses, and they're beautiful and lovely. But there in America, they're doing this. So a neighbor got really upset. This is how upset they got. They sent this note to this lady who put the dragon. And the neighbor actually got something right here when you read it. Dear neighbor, I'm assuming it says, dear neighbor, your dragon display is only marginally acceptable at Halloween. How miserable is that? It is totally inappropriate at Christmas. It makes your neighbors wonder if you are involved in a demonic cult. Please consider removing the dragons. May God bless you and help you to know the true meaning of Christmas. Well, what do you think of that? I think that's pretty, I was going to say diabolical, but actually, this lady who put the red dragon out was onto something. She maybe had been reading her Bible and thought, I'm going to put a red dragon. And lots of my friends who keep a nativity scene, now what they're doing is they put the nativity scene together and they get the shepherds and they get Mary and Joseph and they get the baby and they get the wise men and they put the animals in and then they put in a little red dragon to remind them of the passages that were being read. That actually Jesus came into the world not just to be a little baby who was all gentle Jesus, meek and mild, but Jesus came into the world to do battle. You know, we live in a world where things are not always very easy. You know, what's the greatest crisis facing human beings right now? The greatest crisis facing human beings is the climate emergency. The climate emergency. We're facing huge issues. I love the fact that, you know how they name the gritters in Scotland that go out on the street to keep our streets clear of snow when the snow comes, and they give them all names. Well, one of them apparently has been renamed this year Gritter Thunberg, which is pretty amazing, really, that young woman has had such an impact around the world. We recognize that things are not right, and that is, we think, of our doing, our creation, that we have damaged the thing that has been made for us to provide us with food and living and an environment that is clean and good. We look at that and we think, what's the solution? We look around the world and we see the world as a mess. Last few weeks, last month, 5 weeks, we've not really heard about what's been happening in the rest of the world. But babies are still dying in Syria. People are still being persecuted around the world. The Palestinian people are still facing great pressure in their land. And people all over the world are suffering, and people are getting poorer. There are more poorer people on our streets, for example, in the streets of Edinburgh. So we know that something is not right. And we could say, you know, this is how it should always, it has always been, and it will always be like this, and we just need to just go on with life. But we're told, the Christmas message tells us, it does not need to be like this, that Jesus came into the world, that he gave up. He gave up everything, the glories of heaven, to take on human flesh and to live a human life, to teach and to live and to do miracles and to do amazing things, and then ultimately to die on the cross, not as an example of heroic failure, but he died to take away the sin of the world, to deal once and for all with the problems that the world faces. So the picture of the dragon, when John was writing that on the Isle of Patmos in the first century, he was given a picture of the world, the devil, attacking Jesus right from the very beginning, not being happy with the coming of the Son of God into the world to transform the lives of individuals and to transform how we live our lives. And so he uses this amazing poetic language of the red dragon attacking the mother, attacking the child, trying to do away right from the beginning to get this out of the picture. Because the devil knew his time was up. The dragon knew that he would be defeated. And so Christmas, however nice we want to make it, and we want it to be nice, we want it to be wonderful, it actually is a picture that we're given of a great battle, a battle that was won at the cross of Jesus. It's an amazing thing when we think about Jesus Christ. There's a bit at the beginning of Matthew's gospel, it's called a genealogy. It's a kind of list of all Jesus' ancestors, the ones that came before him. And if you read it, and you think it's a little bit boring because it's just a list of names. If you ever read, go away and read it, Matthew chapter 1, right at the very, very beginning. It just looks like a list of names, but it is the most amazing list of names because it describes a lot of people who were the outcasts, the messed up, the scandalous, the foreigner, the people who didn't quite fit in. That's in the list of Jesus' ancestors. And that tells us something really important. It tells us this. It tells us that the family Jesus comes from anticipates the family he's come for. The family that Jesus came from anticipates the family that he came for. So if you feel a little bit messed up and screwed up, you feel like a bit of a failure, you feel like you're an outcast, you feel like you're on the edge, Jesus came for you. He loves you and he cares for you. And he came to do battle with the forces at work in the world that would deny the fact that we are made in the image of God and we are precious to him. He came so that we could be in relationship, living relationship with Jesus. It is the most amazing thing. William Blake, that great artist, writer, painted the most amazing series of pictures. This was about 1803, 1805. And this is the red dragon battling with the woman and the son that Revelation 12 talks about. This inspired great art, this picture from Revelation of the devil coming to try and do his worst at Jesus' birth. And he has not been victorious. How do we know that? 2,000 years later, here we are. We might be a small group, but we're gathered to celebrate the coming of Jesus into the world. It is the most amazing and beautiful thing. Jesus has come. So this Christmas, will you remember to put a red dragon in the nativity? There we are. I've helped you out with that image. You can have all the things that are there. The things actually we've added in, we were learning this morning, the things that are actually added into the Christmas story, like animals and stuff, which don't actually appear in the Christmas story at all. But there is a red dragon. But we need not fear the red dragon, for he has been defeated by this baby who was born for us. So may you have a wonderful and peaceful and joyful Christmas, and may you know the presence of Jesus Christ who lives. Let's pray. Mary and Joseph, the shepherds and the wise men, were people who listened to God and made Jesus the focus of their attention at that first Christmas. We thank you that that red dragon has been defeated. The forces of evil have been defeated. We are yet to see the culmination of that, but one day we will. We have to live with pain and suffering, but we live in the hope of life and light and resurrection because of what we see in Christ. Dear Lord, we pray that this Christmas we might be like those who were there at the first Christmas, putting you at the center of our celebrations and in the center of our lives. Amen.